The Office of Personnel Management is proposing a broad non-disclosure agreement for federal workers. What legal rights do federal employees have? This is Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss the proposed NDAs are National Treasury Employees Union Chapter 279 President Michael Ottlinger. Thanks for being here, Michael.
Thank you.
And Faruqi PLL Partner Jack Greiner. Welcome back, Jack.
Thank you, Lucy. Appreciate it.
Jack, as you understand it, the Office of Personnel Management proposal, what would it do?
Well, it's a broad prohibition on sharing information that would cut across the executive branch of the federal government. We have a copy of the non-disclosure agreement, and obviously I'm not going to read it all, but it is concerning to me that it says, in the definition of confidential government information, it includes non-public, confidential, or proprietary information, whether or not marked as such. And then it goes on to, you know, which include but not limited to. So the non-public stands out to me because who says what is not public? Is that the president? Is that the secretary of a particular department? And why is it non-public? And, you know, I'm concerned about the breadth of this thing.
Yeah, so it sounds like a very broad definition of confidential information, that non-public thing, because a lot of government information would be subject to a public records request, right? So how does an employee determine all that? Is that the idea there?
I guess. Well, the thing is, the federal or the Freedom of Information Act, again, covers only documents. Mm. So things like conversations, if somebody wants to leave the government and write a memoir or write something critical or alert the press to something, and is subject to this NDA, that's a problem. And that would not be information that would be attainable from a FOIA request because the FOIA is only what it's written down. So
sure.
This would involve conversations, for example.
Okay. Michael, how is this proposal, this NDA proposal, different from the existing laws and rules that government employees have to follow now?
It's a very interesting question because we have controlled unclassified information, so proprietary information, and we have classified information, and so far that's always been adequate. But the Office of Personnel Management created this definition. And as was said here a moment ago, they're lumping everything into it that they could possibly not want employees to state. And I think it's important to know that the director of the Office of Personnel Management, Scott Cooper, said, why don't we put federal employees on a par with all other employees? But there are many Supreme Court cases that have upheld the value to the public of government employees sharing information with the public. You can go back to Pickering and find very recent cases. So I don't think that this is in compliance with the law, but they don't care what's in compliance with the law. They want to intimidate, silence any employee who might possibly disagree with them. And that's what we're facing. And the American people are facing the loss of information about their government, a loss of transparency that's critical for them. That's what this is all about.
We're talking about whether federal government employees could be required to sign NDAs and the legal rights they have. Do you have questions or comments? Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Jack, let's talk a little bit more about what Michael was just raising with these Supreme Court cases. Can an NDA be written for federal employees that is legal and constitutional, do you think?
Well, that's probably up to the Supreme Court.
Oh, come on, Jack.
But Mike mentioned the Pickering case, which is really the leading case on political speech by government employees, because government employees occupy, they kind of have their foot on both sides of the line. On the one hand, they're citizens and have First Amendment rights, like you and me. On the other hand, they're employees and they're subject to reasonable regulations and rules that their employer might impose. So, for example, if the folks at Faruqi told me they didn't want me talking about something or didn't want me, God forbid, coming on Cincinnati Edition.
You'd have to change law firms, Jack.
I would. Yeah. I would immediately change law firms, but in the interim. But I'd have to abide by that because I'm a private employee. But because I don't have, in my private employment, I don't have First Amendment rights. The First Amendment only applies to government action. So the public employee has rights and has speech rights. But again, they are employees, and so the employer. And I think what Mike talked about was there are statutes that prohibit the dissemination of classified information on the books. There are statutes that deal with privacy, so you can't, as a government employee, disclose private information. But you ought to have the right. And I think maybe the answer to your question is. You have it. You have the NDA as written, and then you have the NDA as applied. Mm. And so, as written, I think it's problematic. As applied, it could be real problematic because I would imagine the risk would be that speech that praises the president, even if it's non-public, is probably not going to be subject to any kind of prosecution or civil action. Whereas critical speech probably is. So right there, you can see the inherent problem here. You know, Melania Trump filed a lawsuit over an NDA as first lady with one of her aides who had an NDA. Now, it was ultimately dropped. But to think that these won't be enforced would be naive.
Hmm. Well, Michael, let me ask you this. The country still has whistleblower laws. Couldn't those protect federal employees who speak out if they're talking about corruption or misconduct?
Well, if you remember with the employees at EPA who signed the Stand Up for Science letter, we feel that the agency violated their whistleblower protection, and that's part of the legal cases that are in action against the agency right now. They violated their First Amendment rights. They violated their rights as whistleblowers.
Hmm.
Lucy, I think it should be noted in the form non-disclosure agreement, there is an exemption for exercising any rights protected under the Whistleblower Protection Act. So that if you qualify for federal whistleblower protection, that overrides any restrictions in the NDA. But I do think you have to consider and think about the chilling effect. The chilling effect really is the close call. So I'm an employee. I really have a problem with this. I think I'm protected under the Whistleblower Act, but I'm not sure. And now I got this NDA that's looming. Maybe I'll just keep my mouth shut. And that's the chilling effect.
Yeah. Michael, the Office of Personnel Management has said, hey, we have to do this. This is really necessary because of all these leaks that have put people's lives in danger. What do you say to that?
Well, of course, they have to shut people up. That's really what this is about. And that's what they mean. That's their philosophy. You know, I think it's pretty clear that the restrictions in place on employees speaking in color of office and on matters important for the public good, that's already well enshrined in law. And it's a very narrow distinction when somebody's speech is prohibited. The Supreme Court was held to a very hard line on that. So these employees, if they were speaking inappropriate, are already subject to the potential action of the agency. But the way we've seen them apply this, they're clearly just trying to suppress speech, violate people's rights in the First Amendment, violate their whistleblower rights.
And Jack, I guess that kind of gets back to what you were talking about before when I asked you if one of these could be written in a way that's constitutional and, you know, upholds the scrutiny of the Supreme Court or whatever. It sounds like when you're an employee who works for the federal government, your First Amendment rights maybe are a little different than when you're working in the private sector. Is that a fair characterization?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Because the private sector employee does not have the First Amendment to protect them. And so an NDA is not a problem under the First Amendment. It is because it is with a government employee, because the government employee is potentially giving up their right to speak out on political matters. Now, somebody might say, and it's a fair point, that, hey, they don't have to sign it. Well, they do if they want to work there. Hmm. So there is a coercive effect. And I think to say that, well, they can take or leave it. Yeah, but if it's a condition of employment in the federal government, then that I think raises some serious First Amendment implications.
We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for calling. What is your question or comment?
My question is this. If government employees are going to be prevented from discussing government activities by having to sign these NDAs, how does the legal system ensure that we'll have accountability and transparency in a constitutional democracy?
That's a great question, Michelle. Thanks so much. Jack, I'm going to let you take a first stab at that one.
Well, ideally, people will be brave enough to speak out. And ideally, courts will recognize that efforts to stifle that through an NDA or otherwise are unconstitutional. But that is not a perfect solution because, you know, you're asking the government employee to put themselves at risk. You're asking courts to issue decisions in a timely manner, which is challenging. There's a lot of cases that they have to deal with. So I think it will have an impact on government accountability. I mean, you think about some of the major historical events in my lifetime, certainly, but the Pentagon Papers, that would have been a big problem for Daniel Ellsberg. I mean, he was tried anyway, but if you added an NDA on top of that, certainly would we have known about Watergate? What would have been, what information would have been available? And would there be the other thing that I think is a little bit concerning is, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, is, you know, Mark Felt was Deep Throat. He was an FBI employee and presumably would have been subject to a non-disclosure like that. And Bob Woodward always protected his identity until Mark Felt died. Would if there were an NDA in place, would that give the government an opportunity to force Woodward to give up that source on the theory that, well, this was a violation of the NDA, it's a civil matter, I'm entitled to discovery? So that's a whole nother layer of concern that could impact sources. It will impact sources coming forward, I think, with information. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you want to add to that, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, the court recognized that government employees are experts in certain areas and have access to information that's important for the public good. And this is simply going to undo our constitutional rights and, you know, take away the transparency that voters should have from their government. This is sinister and ominous, and it's not the first thing along these lines that we've seen.
Thanks so much for that question, Michelle, and thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Well, Jack, you know, before Michelle's call, I had asked Michael about this assertion that the federal government's saying, look, we've got to stop these leaks. These leaks are putting people's lives at risk. A Pentagon watchdog report issued last year found Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth put U.S. service members at risk when he used the Signal messaging app to discuss a military strike in Yemen. Did that cross your mind when you learned about these NDAs and the rationale about putting people at risk?
Well, the Pete Hegseth's use of Signal did not cross my mind, actually. But now that you mentioned it, it's a good point. I think that there is a concern, but I think it can be overblown at the same time. Again, I mentioned the Pentagon Papers. The Pentagon Papers was a historical review of the United States' involvement in the Vietnam War that went back to the mid-50s. And when Daniel Ellsberg leaked that information to the New York Times and Washington Post and a few other outlets, and the government attempted to block further publication, again, the New York Times published, and then the court proceedings started to block further publication, the argument was, you know, this is going to cause lives to be lost and that sort of thing. It was a historical piece. I mean, I think I'm skeptical. I want to see the proof. I mean, I certainly don't want to put a life at danger, but I'm also skeptical when that assertion is made. I mean, and I think you're right. I mean, I think that if anybody is, you know, guilty of putting a life at danger, it's probably our Secretary of Defense, thanks to his Signal chat. So.
Anything you want to add to that, Michael?
Yeah, I'm staying out of boats as long as Pete Hegseth is in office.
Okay, well, that's pretty direct. Michael, you referred to this earlier, that the Office of Personnel Management Director Scott Kupor has talked about, hey, a lot of people in the private sector have to sign these NDAs. The federal government shouldn't be held to a lower standard. We've talked about how being a federal employee is different from working in the private sector. But is there anything more you want to say about that, kind of respond to that assertion?
It's nonsensical. The federal government holds federal employees to an extremely high standard. I was in the Navy, in the military. I've been in the federal government for over 20 years, and I can tell you that there's no question about what is appropriate behavior and what is not appropriate behavior. This is a political agenda. It's intended to block federal employees from sharing information with people that they have an absolute right to have.
Jack, okay, legally speaking, I want to come back to this idea of a whistleblower. What's the balance between protecting important confidential information that's confidential for a reason and safeguarding the rights of whistleblowers? What's that balance?
Well, I think the whistleblower statutes, you know, and I say statutes because there's federal whistleblower protection, there's state whistleblower, Ohio has protection for whistleblowers. There are, to invoke that statute, the whistleblower has to abide by certain steps, procedural steps, that sort of thing, that are geared toward confining the release of the information. If somebody just goes out and, you know, speaks to the press and does not follow the whistleblower steps, they cannot invoke the whistleblower statute. So I do think there's some balance within the whistleblower piece itself. I wanted to comment for a minute, if I could, on the I think Scott Kupor's statement really illustrates the misconception about needing, you know, to run the government like a business. Okay, government is different from a business. I think historically, it's not a very good argument. I think when you look at presidents who had business, you know, significant business experience. You had Herbert Hoover, not so great. You had George W. Bush, he had his problems. And so number one. Number two, it's fundamentally different. Again, like we talked about, a private employee is not subject to First Amendment protections. A CEO does not have to deal with Congress. It's just different. And I think to equate them, it just shows either a misunderstanding or a purposeful avoidance of a rather obvious fact.
Well, Michael, Scott Kupor, the director of the Office of Personnel Management, also said leaks can happen because of, quote, political disagreements, personal relationships, or outright malice, end quote. In your view, is that happening? Are these leaks happening because people are just mad, or at the president or the administration, or?
Well, nobody has made more overt political statements internal to the agencies than this administration has. They're really trash talking, wholly inappropriate. So, that's the pot calling the kettle black. But I'll tell you, federal employees are absolutely dedicated, as I think all government employees are, to serving the people of this country or their state or their cities. And to besmirch them and to damage the federal government's civil service is really going to hurt. It's going to hurt transparency. It's going to hurt the people of this country, because right now we have billionaire oligarchs who are running everything, and they don't want to put up with American people or civil servants saying anything. Just sit down, shut up, and do what we tell you. Whatever we want to do is okay. That's where we are.
Do you think this could make it less attractive to work for the federal government?
You know, I hope that there are brave, high-minded people out there who want to come to work for the federal government. But with the bias in the selection of employees, with the president's requirement that they write little essays explaining which of his policies they like most, that's an example of political bias. That's deranged. Nothing like that should happen in this country. We have serious, serious constitutional problems in this country.
Jack, Michael alluded to this a little bit earlier, but do you think there's a broader context to consider here in terms of how the Trump administration has been treating federal employees? Is this NDA just kind of the latest in some broader context here?
I think probably so. I mean, I am concerned with how some people have been treated, certainly. And I think that if it is pretty clear that in looking at the appointment of Bill Pulte, or the proposed appointment of Bill Pulte to run the intelligence agency with absolutely zero experience, that I think it's safe to say, fair to say, that loyalty to the president is the number one and maybe the number one criteria for employment. And can you imagine running a business that way? Can you imagine running a baseball team like that? I mean, with Terry Francona only plays the guys who like him. Really? I mean, it just intuitively makes no sense. But that's where we are. I mean, that is where we are. Yeah. And so, yes, I mean, and I think that if there's a smidge of, I hate to even use the word disagreement, ask Thomas Massie what happens to you when that happens. So, I mean, I think that it's part of a bigger piece that is incredible. What did you say? Ominous and
sinister.
Sinister and ominous, yeah.
Anything? We've only got about 30 seconds left, Michael, but do you want to add to that, the broader context here?
Well, the broader context is that your government's being taken away from you by a bunch of billionaires who want to control everything. They don't just hate federal unions. They hate all unions. They hate little people negotiating for anything for themselves. They have contempt for you. And you ought to go out and start a union wherever you're working. And we need to get the union's rights respected again in the federal government.
I've been talking with National Treasury Employees Union Chapter 279 President Michael Ottlinger and Faruqi PLL partner Jack Reiner. Thank you both so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director today is Ella Rowan. And Rob Fetters composed our theme music. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Lucy May.